of a tabernacle. So, how many in this room, by a show of hands, have ever heard of the tabernacle before? Show of hands. Wonderful. Okay. So, you know, this is a temporary structure that was first erected. There was directions given for the size and shape and the courtyard and what was supposed to be inside of it, materials to be used, and all of that. And so it was commissioned, and Moses oversaw it, and it was done. This comes from Exodus chapter 25, verses 1 through 9. The things that we read about, like this, and the Old Testament in its entirety, it's not just there for interesting stories. There are interesting stories there. It's there for a much greater reason for that. These things are written for our learning. And there's something more than just a big tent out in the wilderness. And it's the spiritual implications, a type anti-type, that we want to draw conclusions for ourselves in our day and age today. So let's listen in Exodus chapter 25, beginning in verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Tell the sons of Israel to raise a contribution for me. From every man whose heart moves him, you shall raise my contribution. This is the contribution which you are to raise from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet material, fine linen, goat hair, ram skin, dyed red, porpoise skins, acacia wood, oil for lighting, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones and setting stones for the ephod and for the breastplate. Let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them, according to all that I am going to show you, as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture, just so you shall construct it." We need to understand that in the people coming out of the land of Egypt, 400 years plus they had been down there, they'd grown into a mighty nation, then they had also been put under slavery while they were there. Things were very rough on them as they wrapped up their time in Egypt. God was going to release them. God used Moses and his leadership along with Aaron to bring the people up and out of Egypt. But his goal was not simply to bring the people up and out of Egypt. He wanted to pull them out of Egypt, but he also wanted them to worship him, to then live by his standard, and to broadcast his glory to the nations as they traveled along. So, let's put it on the board here. First and foremost, out of Egypt. Second thing, to worship him. The next thing, he wanted them to live by his standard, and then to broadcast his glory. All right? This was his goal for them. Know this: God does not simply want to only pull you out of sin. That's what Egypt represented back then: slavery to something. We became slaves of sin. God does not simply want to pull you out of sin. God certainly wants to take you out of sin, but he also wants you to worship him. And in worshiping him, he wants you to live by his standard, so that you will be broadcasting his glory in this world and leading others to be able to come out of sin, who will be able to worship him and live by his standard and broadcast his glory for all to see, so that others can come out. You see how this works? And so the story of them coming up and out of Egypt is not just an ancient story, but it's also a pattern for what God is still up to this very day. The tabernacle, a tent. That's what it was, a tent. But not just a tent. It's where worship was done. Worship was done in that tent. The glory of God, I need to switch some markers here. The glory of God was in that tent? There we go. So the worship was done there. The presence of God dwelt among men in that tent. It represented the Lord. To the nations as they traveled with this. And it was by far the most beautiful and attractive thing out there in that wilderness. Did you hear that description? Blue and purple and scarlet material. These are royal colors. I've done a lot of camping. We actually have an older motorhome now, but we've been in tents. We still regularly go out tent camping. We go out in the snow, we do winter camping in tents. I've yet to see a tent that's got royal collars to it, that is as fancy as what this thing was. Now, I will admit to you that sometimes the kids and I go on a bike ride to see what other kind of campers people have. I go out and say, all right, kids, it's camper envy time. Let's go see what other people have, right? And all these wonderful outdoor kitchens and doors that flip up and big screen TVs that come out. I need that, by the way. More of a want, but it's really a need. But we do that. But can you imagine? Can you imagine being in the area where they're in this wilderness wandering and you come up over a rise and you see this tent? It's like, look at that. Look at that. Is that blue and scarlet and purple? Is that gold? Is that, look at that. In a wilderness area, this was not a tent that you were going to miss. Not by size, not by color, not by construction. You couldn't miss it. And no doubt when this thing came to town and got set up, everyone said, you've got to go see it. You need to peek over the hill and see what that is about. That is amazing. It is by far the most beautiful thing. That was out there in that wilderness. My brother, you and I represent the Lord in our communities. If you're of the younger persuasion, you are representing the Lord in your schools. You are representing the Lord in your workplace. You are representing the Lord in your community at large. You today represent the Lord wherever you're at. And we should be by far the most beautiful thing in the wilderness of this county. I was debating with Brandon today whether it is Davies County or Davis County. And I'm still not clear which one it is that is this county. You can educate me later. But however the pronunciation of it is, we should be the most beautiful thing in this county. By far. We've talked about our bodies before being a temple, and we'll be there again. Right now, and for the rest of this hour, I want to talk to you about our lives as a tabernacle to God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians 5, notice here in verse 1. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Yes, your life is just a tent. That's all it is. And as vulnerable as a tent is to the elements and to a tree limb going down and everything else, sometimes it seems like our bodies are just as vulnerable. Isn't it amazing that microscopic things that you can't even see with the naked eye can turn us so inside out, but they can't. Your life is a tent, but your life is not just any tent. Your life is a tabernacle to God. Your life is where worship is done. Your life is where the presence of God dwells among men. You represent the Lord to the community that is around you, and you should be by far the most beautiful, attractive thing in the wilderness of your school, your work, your community, your county. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 25. I want you to notice chapter 25, verse 2. I want you to hear the similarities. Tell the sons of Israel to raise a contribution for me. From every man whose heart moves him, you shall raise my contribution. Now, a contribution he wanted raised for him. But the contribution needed to be first from what? From the heart. As their heart was moved, the contribution was raised. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, Romans chapter 6, verse 17, how do we go about putting together this tabernacle that's for the Lord, where worship will be done, God is glorified, represents the Lord as a beautiful thing for him in our community? Notice in Romans chapter 6 and in verse 17, it says, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you know, back here in Egypt, though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart. As a person's heart was moved, we start to build something for him. To that form of teaching to which you were committed. Upon freedom from slavery, we obey from the heart. If you go over a few chapters, in Romans chapter 12 and in verse 1, Romans 12, verse 1, it says, therefore I urge you, brother, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. We present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice. That which is acceptable to God. It's our spiritual service of worship. Your bodies is where worship is done. I hope that you see the connection between the Old Testament tabernacle and what we're presenting and giving to the Lord today. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 25. Consider there, beginning in verse 3. This is the contribution which you are to raise from them. Gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet material, fine linen, goat hair, ram skin, dyed red, porpoise skins, acacia wood, oil for light, spices, for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones, and setting stones for the ephod, and for the breastplate. What are these things? These things are the best. This is top shelf material right here. Desirable things. The things are royalty. Well, with that in mind, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. They were gathering building materials when they did that. What about us? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder. Oh, they're building back then, collecting so they can build. Here, we're talking about being a builder. I laid a foundation, and others building on it. Each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones. We sort of heard about these already, didn't we, back in Exodus 25? Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work become evident. For the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. We want to build with the very finest materials. The glory of the Lord deserves no less than the finest of our efforts for Him. He is worthy of that. He is worthy of praise. and is worthy of your best. Be careful how you build. You go to verse 8 of Exodus chapter 25, and it says, let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them. He wanted to dwell among them. Does God still want to dwell in this world today? Does he want to have a presence here today? In Acts chapter 17, Paul addresses this. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 24, notice here he says, the God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things and made from one man. He goes on with his lesson. He wanted to dwell among them. He wants to dwell today. And today he dwells in the hearts. He dwells in hearts of those who are willing to build these precious materials and become that tabernacle and a place for him today. A place for worship. A place for his glory. A place to be represented to this lost world and be a beautiful thing, the most beautiful thing in any given community. Let's go back to verse 9 of Exodus chapter 25. He says, according to all that I'm going to show you as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture, just so you shall construct it. God has a prescribed pattern for our lives. He had a prescribed pattern for the tabernacle and everything in it. He's got a prescribed pattern for your life and everything in it. He's got a prescribed pattern. And my counsel to you is, construct it just so. Construct it just that way. Love what you should love. Abhor what you should abhor. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, here we read, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. I practice those things. Because that's how it's supposed to look. That's the pattern it's supposed to be after. And the God of peace will be with you. Construct it that way. Just so. It says the God of peace will be with you. Some observations. I want to go back to a statement. And I hope you're accepting of that statement. That this tent, more than a tent, but this tent was the most beautiful thing in that wilderness. You, I, should be the most beautiful thing in my part of the wilderness. We are in today, worldwide, a wilderness of sin. And we need to be the most beautiful thing out there in that wilderness. We are called to be a beautiful thing in that wilderness. Let's go to the book of Titus, chapter 2. Titus, chapter 2, verse 11. In verse 11 it says, for the grace of God has appeared, brings salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness, worldly desires, to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. We are called to be a most beautiful thing. Zealous for good deeds. What's that mean? Kindness, goodness, love, consideration, good deeds. You're called to that. That beauty that motivates you, that beauty that empowers you is demonstrated in that. I dare say that someone in that region that came up and over the hill and looked down and saw that tabernacle there, there was a wow factor to it. I believe it was obvious both inside and outside that God's presence was there. I don't just think that. I know that in Exodus chapter 40 and verse 38. Exodus chapter 40 and in verse 38. For throughout all their journeys, the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and there was fire in it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel. It was obvious that God was doing something there. We're to keep our behavior excellent before those who doubt, before those who don't know, before those who are not a part of it, so that as they observe our good deeds, they might glorify God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. There may have been people that were not so happy, and we know this is true, that the Israelites had moved into that area and had set up shop. Matter of fact, some said, no, you can't come through this area. But anyone sent over there and seen what they were seeing had to be in some degree of awe. Look at that. The very presence of God there. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. So even though they may slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, rather, as they observe them, glorify God on the day of visitation. The second observation that I make from all of this is this point. They camped around this tabernacle. They assembled all the tribes in an orderly manner, and they had instructions, north, west, north, south, east, west, top, bottom, side, side. They knew where they were supposed to camp, and right in the center of their camp was a tabernacle. It was literally central to the whole camp. What do we make of that? Here's what I want you to make of that. Our lives should center around being the tabernacle of God. The school activities center around the fact that you are a tabernacle of God. Work schedules, work commitments center around. Choice of where to work centers around being the tabernacle. Marriage centers around being the tabernacle. Who I'll marry centers around being the tabernacle. Every facet of life and living centers around you being the tabernacle of God. The place where worship is done, God is glorified, where it is God is represented to the community. And the most beautiful, beautiful thing out there. You see, you being the tabernacle of God, it is central to all that we do, all that we say, all that we think, all that we want, hope, and aspire to. Maybe a few other descriptions I didn't think of. But it's central to all of that. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, a relatively straightforward verse, but one that is absolutely power-packed, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And so it is that the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7, one that understood these concepts, accepted these concepts, was doing just this, was building his spiritual life just so, just after that pattern, all the right things were there in the right measure, in the right way. Here's what he has to say in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. See if he is seeking first the kingdom and God's righteousness. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, comes along too, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. This is one who had determined some time before that he was going to seek first the kingdom and God's righteousness. It was a thing that was central to him. It was primary to him. It's a thing that took the lead over all other things. And there's no competition. The third thing that I conclusion I draw and the parallel that I see, that tabernacle moved when and where God told it to move. If you'd like scriptural reference, it's in Exodus chapter 40, verses 36 and 37. But the tabernacle moved when and where God told it to move. I want to say to you, Christian brothers and sisters, you are not an entity unto yourselves. In 1 Peter 4, verse 11, we speak as the oracles of God. We serve as the strength which he supplies. You are not an entity to yourself. You move when and where God, through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, tells you to move. You take the position that he tells you to take, and that's the only choice that there is, to either be right or to be wrong by the position that he gives you to take. We run up to chariots and preach Jesus to the person in the chariot when he tells us to run up to that chariot and preach Jesus to. Acts chapter 8, verses 29 and 30. You see, we move when and where in a manner directed by God, period. The nature of a tent is its portability. Brandon, I'm glad you and Casey gave me a room to stay in. Very nice. You actually gave me your room, probably the comfiest bed in the place, I'm guessing. I haven't tried them all, but the one that I'm on is very nice. But if I'd had to, I could have packed up a tent and brought it down here. I could have. I'm much more pleased with the room you gave me. I'd had a much harder time packing up my house and bringing it down here. You see, the nature of a tent is its portability. You move. And we move when and where God tells us to move. We take whatever position he tells us to take, and then we put the stakes down there. Paul says, I became all things to all people, so I might all, by all means, win some. To the strong, he became strong. To the weak, he became weak, right? Figured out where he needed to be within the bounds of what was lawful. And he moved and he slid to where he needed to be the tabernacle in that moment to that person. And when we have liberties, we need to exercise the liberties. And when you have a choice to do something that's more profitable than something else that's also lawful, choose that which is most profitable for the Lord. Even though maybe it's a little harder on you. Choose that which is best for him. At home, at work, at school, on vacation, we worship according to that which is spirit and truth. We're portable. And wherever you are, wherever you are, you are this, and that needs to be represented. The fourth conclusion that I draw from this, by that arrangement that was described in Exodus chapter 25, God was willing to dwell among them. And by this arrangement, what we have described tonight, God is willing to dwell among people today. God is willing to dwell in this world today. In Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 13, there's a pertinent question asked for us, though. In Matthew 5, 13, and it's about salt. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? What if the light is being put under a basket? What do we do under that scenario? That tent was hard to hide. It wasn't meant to be hidden. It was meant to be on full display. You are not meant to be hidden. You are meant to be on full display. You are the light that shines out into a dark world so that people come to it. Be on display. When you live these things out, you're going to be the most beautiful thing in that part of the wilderness. Be willing to be on display so that people can come and come out of their own sin and begin this process in their lives. We are a people for His own possession unto this world. Last observations. In Exodus chapter 39, verses 32 through 41, Moses went in and examined their work. He wanted to make sure that it was done right. And as remember, to be done just so, he went in to make sure that it was done just so. And according to verses 42 and 43, what we find out is that he did examine it. They did do it just so. They had done it. And Moses blessed them. Your work on your tabernacle of your life is going to be examined. And your work, the materials you used, and how you arranged it, how you put it together, inside and outside, your life and everything that fills it, needs to be done just so according to the pattern. And there's a blessing that comes to us when we do. And one of the greatest blessings of all, is to hear, "Well done. Well done, good, faithful servant. Enter in to the rest of your master." In Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 and 35, it says there that once it was built, the glory of the Lord filled it. Let that sink in. Once it was built, the glory of the Lord filled it. Does that happen today? You build the tabernacle of your life just so? Will the glory of the Lord? Well, how about this? Draw near to me, and I will draw near unto you. We have a beautiful opportunity to build something today, each and every one of us, that stands out in this community. It's not hard to be a complainer. It's not hard to gripe about things. It's not hard to see all the things that are wrong. That is so easy, so very easy to do. To do this is hard work, but to do this is to glorify God. You are where the worship is going to be done. You glorify God. You represent the Lord to this community. And I hope that you will be the most beautiful thing out here. And one day you hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." The lesson is yours tonight. I hope something in there is useful to you. If tonight you're here and you have not named His name, you have not done what is necessary to be put into Him, then I encourage you tonight, because all the spiritual blessings are in Him. So if you're here tonight, you've heard, you believe what you've heard, you say, "You know what? That sounds like the better way." Then would you not tonight repent of sinful things, determined to do them no more, leave them behind, turn away from them. Confess your belief in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, and be baptized tonight for the forgiveness of your sins. If you've done that, but in just a moment of honesty, I have to say to myself, "I am not sure that I have exactly been all those things." Oh, I initially came out of sin. I came out of Egypt. My worship hasn't been what it should be. I have not consistently lived by His standard. And broadcasting His glory? I think, honestly, if I'm being fair, I may have injured the work more than helped. Tonight's a wonderful night. A great night to determine to do something else. To live by this standard right here. To say, I will be the tabernacle. I'll be where worship is done. I'll be where He is glorified. Because if no one else is going to do it, if no one else in my household does it, I will be this. If I'm the only person in my school that thinks this way, I will still live this way. Is it possible at work to feel like you're on an island? Because it is. In that wilderness, as dark as it may be this. Stand out in a great way for the Lord. You may be surprised who gets attracted to that kind of light. And how you can lead them out of the wilderness of sin themselves. And so tonight, if you realize there's sin in the life, with a private nature, I encourage you to go to God in prayer and ask for forgiveness of it. But then do the deeds that are in keeping with repentance. And what you have done is with a public nature, publicly confess that. And we'll pray with you and for you for the forgiveness of it. We'll also pray that any damage done will be mitigated. And if tonight you simply need the prayers of the congregation for strength, for encouragement, whatever your need is tonight, once you make a note, come forward as we stand and sing.